Chapter 1. And then there were more orc tanks. They hadn't been there a minute before. Temur Khan had expected their arrival, but he wasn't pleased to be correct. There had been two battle wagons, one that the Iron Guard had managed to destroy as it closed in on the walls of the bastion, the other, further to the rear of the orc force, taken out by a well-placed melter bomb, slapped onto its side by Temur himself as he and his command squad stormed past it on their bikes. For several minutes, the riders of the Fifth Brotherhood had torn across the orc ranks, taking the greenskins apart with bolter and power lance, grinding them to muck beneath the wheels of the bikes. They blunted the orc advance. Forward of the White Scar's incursions, many of the brutes turned back, enraged, to try to close with the Space Marines. Those who continued to rush forwards to scramble up the slope towards the bastion were cut down by the disciplined, unceasing fire of the Iron Guard. The White Scar's tactic was perfectly calculated to disrupt the orcs. A harrying attack that killed momentum by sowing confusion and forcing the enemy to expend energy in conflicting directions. It succeeded. The orcs' vast numbers began to work against them. They became a mob afflicted by colliding currents. Temur wanted their advance transformed into a whirlpool, a confusion of rapids breaking into foam against the rocks of the Fifth Brotherhood. For those several minutes, he saw that configuration form. He saw the greenskins' excuse for order break down. Several minutes of apparent progress. Several minutes during which Temur knew all that progress would be reversed, while he hoped to be completely wrong. But then the tanks were there, appearing just over the rise to the north, only a few hundred meters away. Even over the baying of the greenskins, he should have been able to hear the approaching clamour of the battle wagon engines. But he hadn't. The vehicles were just suddenly there. This was not speed or stealth. This was something else. He had been proven right, but everything else was wrong. The entire tenor of the battle was wrong. The White Scars and the Iron Guard had come to purge the orcs from the moon. But now the Imperial forces were the ones besieged. The reversal was not due to tactical error. Temur had a powerful rapid strike force to command. 6 combat bike squads, 3 of them supported by multi-melter-equipped attack bikes, 5 land speeders, 1 assault squad, and a 5-man scout squad. And they had chosen their staging area well. The STC bastion elements had been dropped to a plateau that had a commanding position, its peak higher than anything else for 12 kilometers in every direction. The bastion's core was a squat crenellated tower crowned by a lascannon turret. The tower and the sectioned walls were constructed of prefab iron components and reinforced plasteel. Within the perimeter were the landing pads for the 2 Thunderhawks, the Furious Lightning and the Karjog's Stand. The bastion was a dark grey judgment upon the landscape, its outer barrier 100 metres long on each side. Where an hour before there had been nothing, now there was the stamp of Imperial strength. But the bastion was designed as a beachhead, a powerful mustering point out of which would radiate the assault. It was, in its intent, a weapon, not a defence. If a siege was to take place, it was to be undertaken by the forces that were sent out from the fortress. But the greenskins had no interest in Imperial war doctrine. The ground rose in a series of swells to the north, and it was from that direction that the orcs had come. They had arrived just as the bastion had been completed, but before the White Scars had been able to scout out the orc positions. The watch in the bastion was able to see the dust kicked up by the green-skinned infantry from a fair distance, but not the tanks. The heavy support kept arriving on the field as if from nowhere. The implications were dark, and Temur resented fighting a defensive battle. That was a game for the Imperial fists. But unless they could ease the orcs' pressure on the bastion, the White Scars would be stymied, their mission stalled. He had expected to encounter the green-skinned tanks. That was why he was here. The orcs were producing heavy vehicles on the moon and sending them down to the surface of Lepidus Prime. What was unexpected was the suddenness of their arrival. Temu's philosophy of war was offended by tanks, especially the lumbering, ungainly behemoths slapped together by the orcs, hitting a conflict with the impact and suddenness of drop pods. Lookouts and augurs were useless. The orc machines arrived as if they'd been spat out by the warp. Four battle wagons. Unbelievable. Huge, clanking, roaring monstrosities. Spewing black exhaust, they chewed the ground beneath them as they descended the slope, rumbling their way towards the plateau and the bastion. They didn't look built so much as assembled. They were patchwork metal horrors. There was no consistency between the machines and barely any evidence of rational thought. They were fantasies of violence. Their hulking chassis bristled with spikes and guns and secondary cannons. Their fronts had been fashioned into faces that were blades and battering rams. Two of the tanks moved faster. They appeared to be armored transports, overflowing with hooting orcs. The other two had massive cannons. They started firing the moment they appeared, even though the bastion was still out of range. The shells fell short, blowing up the orcs' own front ranks. The surviving orcs responded with delighted laughter. Instead of creating more disorder, the friendly fire seemed to invigorate the forward elements, and the orcs charged once more. Temur emerged from the green skin mass, his armor and bike drenched with Xenos blood and pulped flesh. Stray bullets flew past him and careened off his ceramite. But the masses that had been raging for his blood had lost interest. They wanted the bastion. The battle wagons were giving them focus. Temur cursed, then spoke into his vox bead.
"Brother Takhta," he said. "A lesson needs to be taught. Understood?"
Moments later, Temur saw the Thunderhawk Furious Lightning take off from the bastion. He switched to a company-wide channel.
"Brothers," he said, "we need to strike the enemy armor with a mighty fist. I want the greenskins demoralized and broken. Landspeeders, take the forward tanks. Bikes, the ones to the rear. Assault squad, the central mass. Use the Furious Lightning as our cue. Let's show them the truth of a sudden arrival."
Temur likened the deployment to the snap of a steel-jawed trap. The bikes that had been scything through the orc mass pulled away and rode towards the back of the orc horde. Temur watched the sky, tracking the flight of the gunship. It came in low, screaming the rage of a storm and unleashed punishment on the orcs. The other White Scars attacked at the same moment. Blows from the front, the sides, the rear, and from above. Steel jaws. Snap. The Thunderhawk began with its twin las cannons, scorching a furrow through the orcs, leading up to the first battle wagon. Then it switched to its battle cannon. The shells struck the orc machine head on. The brutes who had been hanging on to the tank's profusion of metal projections, riding it like ticks, flew away in chunks. Flames erupted from inside, yet the tank kept going, gears screaming against each other. Smoke poured from the front as if the beast were a wounded dragon. The orcs did not abandon their ride. If it had not exploded, then there was nothing wrong with it. Gunfire stabbed upwards at the furious lightning as it passed overhead. Rooftop turrets tracked its flight, but it was already streaking on to its next prey. Its las cannons never stopped firing. Tokhtar was going to cut the orc army in half with a line of flame. He loosed Hellstrike missiles at the second battle wagon and was on to the next before the rocket struck. The hit was perfect. The explosion was massive, engulfing the tank, and then redoubling in force as the vehicle erupted. Fireballs grew out of each other. The orcs in the vicinity scattered, burning and howling. Flaming wreckage rained down in a wide area. With it, as if born from the same fire, came the jump-packed assault squad deploying from the Thunderhawk. The White Scars landed in the middle of the orcs, justice lashing out from the dark of the night sky. Each warrior killed dozens of greenskins in a wide swath around his landing area, then rose up to come down again, repeated hammer blows striking the orcs. Eddies of confusion rippled out from each strike point. The advance was slowing again. In the growing disorder, five land speeders hit the orcs head on. They skimmed barely 2 meters above the ground, so fast it was as if they were trying to outrace the shells from their heavy bolters. They ploughed more furrows into the orc lines. They decapitated the greenskins, who were foolish enough to stand tall and roar a challenge. They closed with the wounded tank with crack missiles from their Typhoon launchers. Temur observed the first blows of the steel jaws as he and his bike squads approached the rear elements and the two remaining tanks. He saw the flashes and explosions, and he heard the reports over the vox. He thought, good, good, good. The orcs could throw their heavy armor at them, but the White Scars were still going to smash this assault. The bike squads came in from two sides. The ones on the east side were targeting the same tank as the Furious Lightning. Temur led the assault from the west. The twin bolters of the bikes cut a path through the savage masses, heading straight for the tank. The orcs responded more quickly, firing back with inaccuracy but wild abandon. Temur jinked the bike left and right. At this speed, riding over bodies, colliding with orcs in primitive armor, he risked overturning. He only went faster. With his helmet on, he could not feel the rush of wind against his face, but he saw the smear of enemies falling in his wake, and he felt every jolt and bump of his hurricane ride. The battle wagon was just ahead now, and the Thunderhawk launched more hell strikes at the other tank. Another snap of the jaws. No. At the moment the Furious Lightning fired, the orc machine put on a burst of speed. It surged forwards. The rockets flashed past it, blowing up scores of foot soldiers behind. For a second, the battle wagon claimed the initiative. A fatal second. The tank's cannon fired. The exuberant, excessive, overpowered shell struck the gunship's starboard wing. The explosion lit the night. An evil sun. The ablative ceramite armor should have been proof against a single shell. The titanium rolled plates should have held. But it was as if this shell had been blessed by a ravening spirit of war. The wing sheared off. It tumbled end over end to the ground, killing more orcs with flames and crushing steel. The lightning went into a spiral. Its remaining engine roared as Tokhtar fought to stabilize the flight. There was nothing he could do. The gunship's death was inevitable. Still, it fought hard against the end. The engine's howl became a cry for vengeance. Wounded, burning, the Thunderhawk spun around its own axis and slammed to earth in a steep diagonal. The impact was storm and earthquake. The battlefield shook. Flames washed over the orcs. As it died, the ship took a phalanx of greenskins with it. The final retaliation meant nothing. The orcs' collective shout of celebration was deafening. The stern of the furious lightning was on fire, but the fuselage was still intact. The battle wagon closed in.
No, Temur thought. No, by the winds and by the earth, no!
The tide would not turn like this, but there was nothing he could do. He saw only enough of the disaster to know what had happened. He was committed to his own attack, now seconds away.
Thunderhawk down, providing assistance, said a voice over the combat channel.
It was Garzan, leading the western charge.
Punish the greenskin's temerity, Stormseer,
Temur told him.
I will, Khan, and more.
Garzan split up the squad. He and brother Kaidu veered off towards the fallen gunship, while Sergeant Karakhan led Ulagan and Boralun against the tank. He urged even more speed from his bike. The Thunderhawk was a prone target for the battle wagon's giant gun. The cannon fired again just before Garzan reached the lightning. The shell fell short, but not by much. The blast threw up a cloud of earth that half covered the wreck. Then Garzan and Kaidu were at the front of the ship, on the port side, opposite the tank's approach. The nose had dug itself into the ground. The primary access ramp was crumpled and half buried. There would be no extraction that way.
Brother Tokta, Garzan voxed, are you still with us?
Static at first, but then a volley of pained curses.
Sounds like he is, said Kaidu.
They dismounted, leaving their bikes close to the fuselage. The cannon thundered again, but at a different target. Garzan heard the stutter of a bike's bolters. Karakhan's attack was underway. The bike weaponry wouldn't be enough to pierce the tank's armor, but it was drawing the attention of the orc gunners, buying some time. Only a matter of seconds, though. The crash had killed scores of orcs, but their comrades were rushing forwards to swarm over the prize, heedless of the possibility of being blown up by their own armament. The secondary access hatch was also inoperable. Garzan looked at the slope of the ruined bow.
Let's climb, he said.
He and Kaidu scrambled up. To the north, they were exposed to the battle wagon's cannon, but it was still trying to hit closer targets. From the east, west, and south, the orcs rushed towards the furious lightning. A sea of green savagery was coming to drown them. The orcs fired as they ran, filling the air with bullets. In less than a minute, the wave would crash against the gunship. The Thunderhawk's forward armor glass windshield had been blown out by the impact. Tokta was visible inside, pinned by crushed metal.
How are you faring, brother? Garzan asked over the vox. Left arm, leg, and ribs broken, the pilot answered. No leverage.
Kaidu dropped inside and began hauling the wreckage away. Garzan turned to hold back the orcs. As he did, he thought through another problem. They could not leave the furious lightning to be desecrated by the Xenos. He thought of a possible solution. It was lunatic.
My destiny lies elsewhere, he thought. So this will certainly work.
He didn't think anyone else would appreciate the humor. He barely did himself.
Can you ride, brother?
He asked Tokta. His staff in one hand, he opened fire with his bolt pistol with the other, blasting at the orcs that came near his and Kaidu's bikes. He ignored the ones on the other side of the gunship for now.
If I can breathe, I can ride.
Good.
Are there any jump packs aboard? In the troop compartment, yes. Brother Kaidu, I'll need one.
He maglocked the pistol, pulled a frag grenade from his belt, and tossed it into the hoard. The explosion hurled broken orcs into the air. He had the pistol back in hand and was firing again before the bodies landed. Corpses accumulated in a semicircle around the bikes. The greenskins on his side of the Thunderhawk slowed down and started shooting at him. Their bullets were no match for his armor. But behind these orcs came their slower, larger, more heavily armored brothers.
"Is that wise, Stormseer?"
Kaidu asked.
"No, but it is necessary. Do hurry."
A massive orc in clanking armor leapt up onto the lightning's nose. It took a bolter shell in the chest. The hit damaged the armor, but the orc kept coming, its forward momentum unaffected. Ghazan blinked at the greenskin's strength. He had never seen an orc able to shrug off a bolter's impact quite so easily. It swung a huge chain axe at him. He took a step back, and the axe went wide. Its head was so heavy that the orc's swing threw it off balance for a moment. Ghazan raised his staff high. The eye sockets of the horse skull on its end glowed with the fury of Chogoris, and the winds of the White Scar's homeworld rushed out from his being. They knocked the orc off the gunship, then raged to the ground below, hurling the attackers back. Ghazan reached into the spirit of the moon itself. He touched its elemental strength. He spoke to it with the voice of Chogoris entwined with his own.
"Cast these vermin away," he said. "Scour them from your surface."
The winds shrieked with anger. They flattened the orcs and bowled them over, clearing the area around the two bikes by a dozen meters on all sides. Ghazan held the orcs at bay. He pinned them to the ground with the moon's howl. Frothing with rage, the biggest of the orcs were already pushing themselves up. Then the battle wagon's cannon thundered again, and this time it hit very close to the flank of the furious lightning. The gunship shook hard. It broke Ghazan's concentration, and he lost his link to the moon and his home world. Behind him, Ghazan heard Kaidu climb out of the cockpit, then pull Tokhtar up. Ghazan turned.
"You have seconds to get clear," he said.
He took the jump pack Kaidu handed him. Kaidu nodded. Tokhtar said,
"My thanks, Stormseer."
Supported by Kaidu, the pilot slid to the ground. He slumped over Ghazan's bike, but managed to start it unaided. Tokhtar opened up with his bike's twin bolters, pushing the orcs back again, giving Kaidu the seconds and space he needed to start the run. Then they rode off, smashing through the green skins, crushing them beneath their wheels. On the starboard side of the Thunderhawk, the tank was closing in. It had been slowed by the other White Scars, but they hadn't been able to cripple it. The ship was surrounded by orcs, racing with each other to claim the prize. Ghazan had the jump pack on now.
"Pull back," he voxed to the squad. "I have this."
He dropped into the cockpit. Despite the damage, the control surfaces were still more or less intact. He drove his fist into the paneling until he had punched a hole through, then peeled the metal back, exposing the wiring. He was no tech marine, but he murmured a prayer of apology to the ship's mortally wounded machine spirit. He asked it to accept what he was about to do and act as he hoped it would. The orcs were on top of the nose now. Two were fighting with each other over which would have the privilege of entering the cockpit first. Ghazan shot them both. He grabbed the shattered windshield frame and hauled himself out. He looked down at the wiring, fixed its position in his mind, and triggered the jump pack. He shot into the air as the tank drew up beside the furious lightning. He kept looking downwards, visualizing the cockpit as he reached out once more to the elements. He was a seer of storms. He would share his vision with the orcs below. The moon responded to him. The land was outraged by the presence of the greenskins. It was eager for retribution. It gave Ghazan its lightning. His staff crackled electrical silver along its entire length, and then the blast, a seer in the night, struck the cockpit of the Thunderhawk. With a roar of final rage and triumph, the furious lightning embraced its namesake and found its vengeance. All its weapon systems fired at once. Its remaining Hellstrike missiles launched straight into the ground. Explosions grew from explosions as the fuel and ammunition ignited. The gunship disappeared in an earth-shaking blast. The fire swallowed the tank, and then it too added to the holocaust. The fireball rose to meet Ghazan, and the jump pack barely kept him from the hunger of the spreading destruction. Successive booms built on each other. They were a symphony of ending. They were the sound of the entire center of the orc army gone in a second, incinerated at the moment of their celebration. On the descending arc of his jump, Ghazan saw the lights of the two bikes streaking away from the fire, still cutting their way through the greenskins. As he landed just beyond the periphery of the blasts, he saw the last tank come apart in flames too, brought down by Temur's bike squad. Ghazan hit the ground with his bolt pistol drawn. He marched forwards, staff high, putting shells into the skulls of the nearest orcs. A few fired back at him, but they were not attacking. The remaining force was in disarray, panicked by the massive sudden losses of infantry and all their heavy support. No other tanks appeared. The orcs were retreating.
"We have a respite," Temur said. "I don't expect it to be long, and it was dearly bought. I have no intention of sacrificing our remaining Thunderhawk to gain us another breathing spell, and I dislike sieges. I dislike them intensely."
The Fifth Brotherhood had regrouped in the Bastion. The Khan was speaking to his sergeants in the command block. Colonel Gregor Meixner of the Mordian Iron Guard was present, but standing to one side, remaining silent with good grace while Temur paced. Meixner struck Ghazan as an officer with a finely developed sense of the possible and the political. The 64th was a justifiably proud regiment, but Meixner knew that he and his men were present in this engagement in a supporting role. They would assist the White Scars as they could, but it was the Fifth Brotherhood that would stab the orc operations on this moon through the heart. Ghazan was impressed by Meixner's good-natured calm as he listened to Temur. The Iron Guard on this day had wound up being little more than bait. As Ghazan turned over in his mind what must happen next, he realized that the men would continue in this role. They were the inviting target that would keep the main body of the orc army focused on this spot, distracted from protecting its own base. He doubted that Temur would be as sanguine when the same happened to him, but that was what the scenario he was outlining would be.
"Our choices are limited," Temur said. "We will not give up our foothold on this moon, and we cannot attack a target whose location is unknown to us," he grunted, as if the reality of his situation just now fully registered. His scars, in the pattern of the claw marks of a Berkul, darkened as his frustration shaded towards anger. "We will have to hold this position until we know where to strike."
He turned to Sergeant Kusala, who led the scout squad.
"Brother Sergeant,"
said the Khan.
I believe it is clear what we need you and your men to do.
Kusala nodded.
It is, my Khan,
he said. He had lived long enough that his hair, tied back following tradition in a horse's tail, was grey. Though Ghazan was younger, his hair was white. It had been since the night of his first vision, when his fated role as Zadyan Arga had been made manifest.
We will find the Greenskins' manufactorum for you,
Kusala went on.
Good, and when you do, we shall fall on it like the worst of gales.
To Meixner, Temur said,
when that moment comes, we will move to destroy the manufactorum, regardless of the situation on the ground here. That may well mean abandoning you to face another siege like we saw today. Quite possibly a worse one.
We will do our duty, Meixner said. We will hold. Temur grunted again, this time more satisfied.
I look forward to your being put to the test, Colonel. We cannot afford to let this mission drag on too long. Neither can the Raven Guard on Lepidus Prime.
Temur stopped pacing. He had barely glanced at the tacticarium table behind him. Not that it was proving useful. They all knew the lie of the land around the bastion. Northwards, where the target lay, was mostly conjecture. The difficulty was not in knowing the terrain of the moon. The problem lay in how the orcs had transformed the surface since their arrival. None of the lithographs produced by the orbiting augur arrays were helpful. The only way to find the site of the orcs' heavy armor production would be to find it on the ground. All the same, Ghazan found himself looking past Temur at the table. The lithograph of the regions north of the bastion seemed to look back at him. The longer he stared at the image of the terrain, the more he felt the fraying vibration around the contours of reality that preceded his visions. Destiny tugged at him. The being he would fight awaited him there. I will accompany the scouts, he said. Temur's pacing stopped dead. He gave Ghazan a sharp look, but didn't respond to him. He spoke instead to Kusala again.
When will you be ready to leave?
Within the hour, Khan.
Good. Make ready, then.
Kusala saluted and left. To the rest of the sergeants, Temur said,
We will make what repairs we can to the bikes and land speeders. We will have constant rotating patrols out there. We know the orcs are coming back. I would have us hit them before they get so close again.
He glanced at Meixner and visibly stopped short of issuing commands to the colonel. If Meixner noticed the near slight, he didn't show it. We will be ready as well, he said.
Thank you, Colonel.
To the white scars, he said,
To war, then, for the Khan and the Emperor.
The war cry was echoed, and the sergeants left the command room, as did Meixner. Temur made no move to go. He stood beside the tacticarium table, as still as he had been restless a few minutes before. Ghazan remained where he was. The two of them waited until they were alone.
You are needed here, Zadyan Arga,
Temur said.
On the front lines.
Perhaps, but this is where I cannot be. I am fated to be elsewhere.
Temur's scars darkened again.
You saw what we were up against. Your presence tonight was the difference between our provisional triumph and disaster.
That is not a certainty.
The certainty is that our losses would have been much greater.
Ghazan inclined his head once, conceding the point. He said nothing. Temur began to pace again. As he did, he tapped a finger against the surface of the table.
he struck it with the rigid tack, tack, tack of a march.
You arrived on my ship without any notice at the last moment before the commencement of the mission, he said.
Again Ghazan bowed his head. What the Khan said was true. Ghazan saw no need to expand on that truth. Temur moved to the far side of the table. The tapping continued. He seemed to be expecting more of an answer. When he received none, he said,
I received you with, I believe, the respect due to your office.
That is so.
Yet you will not do me the courtesy of telling me why you are here.
I do not intend to be cryptic, Khan. The full contours of my fate are hidden to me. I have come to do battle with a powerful enemy. That is the full truth.
And you don't know who or what or where the enemy is?
No. Ghazan gestured at the tacticarium table. But my sense is that it waits for me in the north.
Has it not occurred to you that this enemy might be drawn to the battlefield here? I have a great respect for the visions of storm seers, Ghazan, but are they not open to different interpretations? You just admitted that the details are hidden from you.
Though his soul already knew the answer to the Khan's question, Ghazan did not dismiss it. He considered it long enough to confirm his certainty that he was choosing the right path. No, he said, this foe will not come to me.
Then let the scouts do their work, and in the meantime, fight where you are needed.
I am needed in the north, with the scouts.
You are wrong. Your destiny may be pulling you there, but that is not where you should be at this time.
Ghazan was silent for a moment. I am sorry to disappoint you, Temur Khan, but fate is not subject to pragmatism. I have no choice. He said the last sentence as if to speak it were to cast aside all doubt. He brought his arms to his chest in the sign of the Aquila and left before Temur could answer. He did pause in the corridor outside the command center. He understood Temur's growing anger. His actions would appear from the outside to be selfish and quite possibly foolish. He removed his left gauntlet and held his staff with his bare hand. He felt the ridges of the protective sigils. He closed his eyes and opened himself up to the warp. The tug was there immediately. The chains of destiny were pulling at him with even more insistence. At their end, the figure of the foe awaited. The shape was no clearer than it had been before, but what it radiated had come into focus. Triumph, bestial delight, destructive hunger, and power. Power that somehow was not entirely inherent to the foe itself. Power that was being fed and was growing. Power that Ghazan must extinguish or die trying. The storm seer opened his eyes. Temur was right to think that the White Scars had little time before the war became entirely a defensive one and was lost. But the key was in the north. That was where time was slipping away. Time for the White Scars. Time for Lepidus. Time for many systems beyond.